This week, Bunta in Brazil. Lord Malevera came along the removed passage, stopped at the door of number one study, and looked in at that celebrated apartment. His amiable lordship was a persona grata, indeed gratissima in that study, as in most other studies in the remove. Harry Wharton and co, seated round the study table, glanced at him, and there were five smiles of cheery welcome. Quite a chorus greeted him.
"Hello, hello, hello,"
said Bob Cherry.
"Trickle in, Morley,"
said Harry Wharton, the captain of the remove.
"Here's a chair,"
said Frank Nugent.
"Just in time for tea, and there's lots,"
added Johnny Bull.
"Thoughtfulness is terrific, my esteemed Morley,"
said Hari Janset Ram Singh, the nabob of Barneypore. Bob Cherry dragged up a box for himself, insisting upon giving his chair to the honoured guest.
"Looked in to speak to you fellows. Fixed up the halls?"
"All cut and dried. We've been planning a boating trip. Wish you'd come, Morley."
"Not much good asking Morley to change the gilt-haired, diamond-studded family yacht for an old tub on the river."
"Gee, do you good to rough it a bit, old chap. Camping out, cooking your own meals, washing up, no end of fun."
"Ah, yeah, fine, but..."
"Oh, the butfulness is probably terrific."
"Oh, I'd like it all right, at least I think so, but..."
"But you miss your butler, eh?"
No, not at all. But the fact is, I'm fixed up for the halls. I'm going to see my cousin Brian. He manages a
Does he?
Yeah, on the banks of the River Thingamy.
Thingamy? I don't think we've had that river in geography with Quelch.
Well, we don't do a lot of South American geography in the remove.
South America?
Brazil, you know, where the nuts come from.
I say, you're going to Brazil for the holes?
That's it.
Wow, that's a bit of a step for the vac, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe it takes a couple of days to get there. South American Airways, four hops to Rio de what's name? I forget the other bit.
Rio de Janeiro, possibly?
Yes, I knew it was Rio de something. You go up country from Rio, rather a long trip to the river, what's his name, where old Brian manages, what do you call it? But old Brian will come to Rio to take the party up country.
Oh, you're going with a party.
Well, I hope so. That's why I came in to speak to you chaps. I thought you might like to come.
Oh, spiffing.
I was rather banking on you fellows. My uncle's standing the trip. Old Brian says he could give us a good time out there. Lots of things going on in Brazil, apparently. Wild Indians, alligators, canoeing on the river, jaguars in the forest, all sorts of things. Like the idea?
Sort of.
The likefulness is terrific.
What? How I say?
Good, then it's settled. Jolly good of you fellows. Well, let's see, you fellows and me, that's six, isn't it?
Yes, as far as I remember from my arithmetic, it's about that. But, you know, I think we should count heads, just to make sure.
I was wondering if you chaps would mind if I made it seven.
Of course not, ass. It's your party, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but if you fellows think you could stand Bunta...
Yes, of course. Bunta!
Puffing and blowing, perspiring and grunting, the fat junior rolled through the Brazilian forest in the wake of Lord Malevera and the famous five.
Oh, I say, you fellows, I'm beastly tired.
They tramped on through the thick, tangled forest, Bunta blinking after them as they went, in almost speechless indignation. The Grey Friars party had been several days now in Brazil. On this particular day, they had walked out to see an Indian village at a little distance from the river. The path through the forest was well marked and fairly easy going, but on the way back, Bunta had proposed taking a shortcut. But deep in the forest, the juniors found the going very hard and heavy.
Bull, old man.
Oh, come on.
I'm tired.
Think nobody else is tired. Gonna move on.
Beast,
come on, Dante. I
shan't, Morley. I'm tired.
Do you want to be left there on your own, you fat image?
Oh, that's it. Go on, leave me. It would be just like you, Bull. And after all I've done for you.
Six juniors came to an exasperated halt. They were all tired and they wanted to get back to the Kinter. But clearly Bunter could not be left on his own in the tangled forest. He was more likely than not to get lost, and any fellow lost in the South American forest was only too likely never to be found again. Six fellows were prepared to push on and make the best of it. One wasn't. When Bunter was tired, it was almost as serious as if Bunter was hungry. Lord Malevera attempted to coax the fat owl.
We've got to get in before dark, Bunter. We must go. Don't sit down, Bunter. Oh, please, you silly ass. Don't sit down.
Oh, go on, then. Leave me here.
Push on.
I say, you fellows, I ain't going to stay here alone. Oh, you beast, I say. Wait for me. I'm coming. Oh.
Bunter had stumbled over a root and was sprawling on the earth.
Oh, I say, Morley, help.
Hurt, old fat man.
Yes, I'm hurt. Oh, my ankle. Oh, I say, you fellows, help. Oh, the pain, it's awful. I think I've broken the spinal column of my ankle. Ow.
The wit.
Oh, the agony. Oh, the agony, it's fearful. It feels as if the jugular vein is severed. Oh, that's it. Go on. Cackle, and me lying here.
You're always lying somewhere. You simply can't help lying, you fat Ananias.
Beast.
Easy does it, old man. If Bunter's hurt.
If? Gammon, more likely.
Not...
The juniors gathered round the suffering owl. Wharton and Bob Cherry grasped him by fat arms and heaved him to his feet, or rather, to his foot. Bunter stood on his left leg, his right off the ground. He hung his whole weight on Wharton and Bob, and they almost crumpled under it.
Ow!
How long is Bunter going to stand there like a stork on one leg?
Beast! The other leg's broken! I mean, the other ankle's broken. Oh, it's got pains like a burning dagger. Oh, I can't put my foot on the ground. Oh, I say, you fellows, you're going to have to carry me.
Oh, holy smoke.
The famous five exchanged glances of dismay. If Bunter was crocked, evidently he had to be carried, and Bunter was not a lightweight. Johnny Bull gave a snort, expressive of unbelief.
He's gammoning.
Oh, if you could feel the awful agony in my left ankle.
Your left ankle?
I mean my right. Oh, it's like boiling. It's exquisitating.
I think you mean excruciating, you old fat owl.
Oh, do help a chap. Oh, I say, Morley, come here, old fellow. Oh, please.
Oh, we've got to carry him. If he sprained his ankle, the sooner we get him to the Kinter, the better. I'll take one side.
You
won't. You'd fold up like a penknife, you ass.
Oh.
You and me, Bob, we're the toughest.
The fat and weighty owl was lifted from the ground. He sat on joined hands, securing himself by gripping Johnny and Bob round the neck, much to their discomfort.
Now, get on, for goodness sake. It'll conk out under this if it lasts long.
Careful, gently.
Harry Wharton pushed ahead, clearing the way of creepers, with the help of Nugent and Malevera and Harry. After them laboured Bob and Johnny, supporting between them the uncommon weight of William George Bunter. They stumbled over roots and tangled vines, and a fat voice was heard in expostulation.
I say, you fellows, don't keep on jolting a chap. Oi. Now, come on, keep steady, can't you? Haven't you got any sense? And look here, don't be such clumsy asses. I say...
Oh, dry up, Bunter.
Oh, really, Cherry, I won't be shook. I mean shaken about like a sack of soak. I mean a sack of coke. Oh!
If you say another word, Bunter, I'm going to drop you.
Billy Bunter opened his mouth to say beast, but closed it again without saying beast. It was clear that Johnny meant what he said, and Bunter did not want to be dropped.
Don't drop me, will you?
Suddenly there was a sound of rustling, as if someone had plunged into the forest hurriedly. A figure in a poncho and a big grass hat stood under the shadowy branches, and a pair of fierce black eyes flashed at the juniors as they came.
My rapaces!
Darrow! now?
Bob Cherry staggered in one direction, Johnny Bull in the other, as their fat burden jumped away. Bunter bolted like a shaft from a crossbow and vanished among hanging lianas and swaying tree ferns, yelling,
"Oh, Darrow! Oh, the swarthy bandits after me! Oh, Lord!
Horse repairs!"
repeated the bandit as he stared back at the juniors, seemingly as surprised by the meeting as they were. For a long moment, the group of schoolboys and the scarred outcast stood facing one another, staring. Then the bandit, with a sudden movement, disappeared into the underwood. They were glad enough to see him go. Not for a moment had they dreamt of the possibility of encountering such a desperado so near the Kinter.
I say, what was he doing here?
No good, anyhow. Better get in as soon as we can and tell your cousin Brian about him, Morley.
Oh, what about that idiot Bunter? Where's he run off to?
Oh, bother the fat ass. Cut after him.
The terrified Bunter had vanished into the forest, but it was easy enough to follow his trail. Torn lianas and trampled tree ferns and trumpet flowers showed the way he'd gone. In hardly more than a minute, they sighted him ahead, plunging through the tropical growths in frantic, spluttering haste. Johnny Bull gave an angry snort.
Where's his sprained ankle?
The spoofing porpoise.
Oh, Gad, he was pulling our leg. There's nothing the matter with his ankle.
I told you so.
Hold on, you potty owl.
But Billy Bunter did not stop or hold on. Bob Cherry put on a spurt, reached him and grabbed a fat neck.
Ow! Oh, leg, ow! Oh, mercy, it wasn't me. Oh, crumbs! Oh, help! Oh, rescue! Rescue! Let go, you awful villain!
Blithering, gloated, you think the bandits got hold
of
you?
No. Oh, it's you, Cherry. Oh, I thought...
You thought? What do you do that with, you potty porpoise?
And where's your sprained ankle?
I say, where is he? Has he gone? Of course, I'm not afraid of the fellow.
Oh, you didn't look it.
Oh, really, Bull? I'm not likely to be scared by a bandit, am I? Huh? I mean, you fellows might be.
Oh, kick him.
Beast! Now, come on, look here, you fellows. Need be scared if the man's gone, but we'd better get in. All the same, I'm ready when you are. For goodness sake, let's not hang about. Now, come along. Who's carrying me? Buck up.
What?
Well, you know I can't walk with this ankle.
That sprained ankle?
Yes. Oh, the pain, the pain. Oh, it's awful. Oh, I can't put my foot on the ground. It's like boiling oil and burning daggers. I mean, I can bear it. I mean, I'm not like some fellows who make a big fuss about a little spot of pain. I know some fellows do that, but not me. But I can't walk.
Well,
I can't
walk. Tears it. Bunter takes the cake. He mops up the biscuit. He prances off with the whole Peak Preen factory. So you've still got a sprained ankle, Bunter?
Yes, Cherry, old chap. It's awful.
You can't walk?
Not a step.
Well, if you can't walk, you can't. But we'll see whether you can run. I fancy you can run if I help you.
What?
Now, Hoppy,
oh,
I'm going to boot you all the way back to the Kinter.
Oh,
you won't be able to sit down till we get there if you don't keep out of the reach of my boot. Have it!
Get a fella room. I haven't kicked him yet.
Billy Bunter did not wait for Johnny Bull to take his turn. He bounded.
Oh, you beast! Kick off! Oh, I think I can walk. I'll try.
The captain of the remove led the way again, and Bunter rolled after him. Next came Bob Cherry, and as soon as Bunter lagged, which he did in about a minute, a foot shot out behind him, and Bunter yelled.
Ow!
And bucked up again.
It's all right.
Twice again did Bunter lag, and twice again a ready foot thudded.
Oh, yarrow!
After which, William George Bunter put his best foot foremost and did not lag any more. You've been listening to Billy Bunter by Frank Richards with Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden and Bilotti. The producer was Melanie Miller. Billy Bunter is a Rewind production for Radio 2.